verse of scripture I would like to leave before you today is verse 22 of this passage we have read in Philippians chapter 4. Verse 22, Paul, bringing his letter to the church to a close, states, "All the saints salute you, chiefly they that are of Caesar's household." Caesar is a title given or taken by the Roman emperors. We read in Luke 2, verse 1, about Augustus Caesar, who was in power when the Lord Jesus came forth as a babe in Bethlehem's manger. His successor was Tiberius Caesar, who reigned from 14 to 37 A.D. and is mentioned in Luke chapter 3 and verse 1. He was followed by Claudius Caesar, as mentioned in Acts 11, verse 28, and Acts 18, verse 2. That brings us then to Nero. Nero was the Caesar in power when Paul was in prison, awaiting that day when he would receive a martyr's crown. It is Caesar Nero's household that Paul mentions here in our text. Nero, the fifth of the Roman emperors, was undoubtedly the most infamous. His name is synonymous with cruelty. He murdered his mother, his two chief advisors, and many of the nobility, just to secure their fortunes. Nero's private life was in his day a scandal. Surrendering himself to the basest of appetites, he indulged himself in the most evil forms of pleasure. It is not surprising, therefore, that Nero had no love for Christianity or for those who were followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. This was evident when, in AD 64, a large part of Rome was destroyed by fire. The finger of suspicion was pointed at Nero as the one who possibly started the fire. So in an attempt to divert attention away from himself, he used the Christians as a scapegoat. And one who witnessed the cruel actions of Nero against the Christians wrote about what he saw, and I quote, "Their death was made a matter of sport. They were covered in wild beast skins, then torn to pieces by dogs, or they were fastened to crosses and set on fire in order to serve as torches by night. These things were done in the gardens that belonged to Nero. Does it not, in the light of what we have just said, somewhat surprise us then to read these words of Paul in his letter to the Philippians? All the saints salute you, chiefly they that are of Caesar's household. Caesar, Nero's household. Who were these saints? How did they come to be in the household of such a cruel, callous and carnal individual? Well, the scriptures give us answers to both these questions. During some excavation work that took place in and around the city of Rome a number of years ago, some tombs were unearthed, and on those tombs were engraved the names of certain men and women. Details of their occupations were also engraved on those tombs. And the names discovered there were identical to the list of names that are found in the last chapter of Paul's epistle to the Romans. You turn, please, to Romans 16. I find this too much of a coincidence to say, oh, it could not possibly be the same people. But the list is exactly the same and the names are identical. And so therefore, surely it would be too much of a coincidence. So we discover, if we, let's say, begin our reading at verse 6, and I have no intention in reading through all of these names, but verse 6, greet Mary, who bestowed much labor on us. Salute Andronicus and Junia, my kinsmen and my fellow prisoners. Verse 8, salute Amphlius, my beloved in the Lord. Salute Urbian, our helper in Christ, and Stasius, my beloved. Salute Ampelas, approved in Christ. Salute them which are of Aristobulus' household, and so forth, and so on. And the names that were written and engraved on the tombs of these names here that are found in Romans 16. Is it then possible? I believe it is most probable that they were the very saints who wanted to be remembered to the believers at Philippi when Paul said, all the saints salute you, chiefly they that are of Caesar's household. And the saints in Caesar's household are those mentioned in Romans 16. Now, that doesn't mean that they were blood relations of Caesar, but it simply means that they served in Caesar's household. They worked there, not only in his immediate household, but throughout his kingdom. The next question then that comes before us is, how did they come to be there? How did these saints find their way into Caesar's household? That is what we want to consider today. And I believe there is a message for us all when we consider the saints that were found in the household of Caesar. Let us consider, first of all, the saints and their salvation. Now they are called saints. They were not given that title by the Pope of Rome. They were saints because they were saved. So that leads us to consider their salvation. It may be difficult for some to believe that there could possibly be any Christians found in the household of Caesar. Yet, dear child of God, we must remember that we worship a sovereign God whose thoughts are above our thoughts and whose ways are above our ways. Therefore, the presence of saints in the household of Caesar can be attributed to, first of all, the providence of God. That is very evident. Yet how could souls serving in the household of Caesar ever be reached with the gospel? This man who hated Christianity, this man who tortured the saints of God for sport, how could these souls ever be reached with the gospel, these souls in the household of Caesar? The Lord is one who is able to make a way where there is no way. The Lord had some of His elect in the household of Caesar. That is very evident. Therefore, if the Lord had some of His elect in the household of Caesar, He must get the gospel to them. Because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So how did the Lord get the gospel to those souls in the household of Caesar? Turn to Philippians chapter 1. Philippians 1 verse 12. Paul is writing from Rome. Paul is in prison in Rome. And he's writing to the saints at Philippi. And he's saying to them in verse 12, But I would ye should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me, namely his imprisonment, have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace, and in all other places, and many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Notice that Paul says the things that had happened unto him have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel. Paul was imprisoned. And no doubt the authorities thought they had taken away Paul's liberty, but they hadn't taken away his liberty in the gospel. And so Paul preached to all who were around him. And there he lay between two Roman soldiers and he preached to them. And if they changed the soldiers, well, they were just changing Paul's congregation. And he would preach to the next soldiers who would come and be chained to him. But it's verse 13 I want you to notice. For verse 13 reads, So that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all other places. In all the palace. Look at your Bible margin. The palace there refers to Caesar's court or Caesar's palace. And the things that happened unto Paul happened unto him to the furtherance of the gospel. When Paul appeared in Caesar's palace, Paul took the opportunity to preach the gospel. How were those sinners reached? with the gospel in Caesar's household, Paul reached them. Here's the providence of God. Paul reached them with the gospel. Some of those mentioned in the 16th chapter of Paul's epistle to the church at Rome were the spiritual fruits of Paul's imprisonment. Believer, let us stand back today and gaze and wonder at the marvel which is called God's providence. For when the Lord saved that man, Saul of Tarsus, and called him to serve him, what did the Lord say to Paul through Ananias? I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. And among his sufferings, the Lord had in mind were his imprisonments. How often have we witnessed the providence of God and the work of salvation? We know that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And whenever the Romans arrested Paul and put him in prison, little did they know they were only carrying out the will of God in Paul's life. For the Lord had to get the gospel to those in the household of Caesar, for he had some of his elect there, and he brought about Paul's imprisonment. Those things that befell Paul happened to the furtherance of the gospel. Paul preached the gospel in the household of Caesar, and souls were saved. Believer, wherever the providence of God has placed you or me, there are those who need to hear the gospel. Maybe in that office where you work, or maybe in that factory where you work, or wherever it may be, there may be one or two of God's elect in that place. And the Lord has you there to give them the gospel. Here's the providence of God. Salute, or the saints salute you, chiefly they that are of Caesar's household. Not only do we see here the providence of God in their salvation, but we notice the prisoner with grace is seen in their salvation. Remember again what Paul said about his imprisonment at Rome. The things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel. It takes grace to be able to say that. My, how many of us, if we find ourselves in Paul's position, lying in a dungeon somewhere, wonder how many of us would view our circumstances as Paul did. Paul said, these things have happened to me, and they have happened to me for the furtherance of the gospel. There's a reason for it. I'm here in this prison in the providence of God. My, whenever you have your eyes on the sovereign God and you behold the providence of God, like Paul, you can glory in your infirmity. For Paul said in 2 Corinthians 11, in verse 30, after he listed his infirmities and the things he had suffered for the cause of Christ, Paul said, if I must needs glory, I will glory of the things which concern mine infirmities. There's grace. It takes grace to be able to say that. It takes grace to be able to look at your circumstances as Paul did and give God the glory. This speaks to me of Paul's boldness for the Lord. When we think of those in Caesar's household who became saints through Paul's witness, we can only say today, well, thank the Lord that the Lord gave grace to Paul and he opened his mouth and spoke a word for the Master. We can only say, thank God Paul was bold in the Lord. What would have happened if Paul had kept quiet? Never mentioned the Lord. And didn't witness to those soldiers or the people in Caesar's palace or those in Caesar's household. Those souls never would have been reached with the gospel. But Paul, the prisoner of grace, was bold for the Lord. This, of course, is what he had been praying for. He had asked the believers to pray that God would give him boldness in the gospel. Look at Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians 6 verse 18. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints and for me. Paul says, pray for me. And he goes on to say that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. You know, these words tell us a few things about Paul. Tells me he was a Presbyterian. Because he says, for which I am an ambassador. The word ambassador is the word presbyteros, for which I am a Presbyterian. Believe it or not, Paul's a Presbyterian, and I believe he's a free Presbyterian as well. For him whom the Lord sets free, he's free indeed. And so here is Paul. And he has been praying or asking the saints to pray for him that he would have this boldness. And my, their prayers were answered. There's Paul, a prisoner in Rome, awaiting the day of his death. And when he had an opportunity in the palace of Caesar, he witnessed for the Lord. And as he lay in that dungeon, he preached to the soldiers. And he reached those sinners in the household of Caesar with the gospel. No fear of man, as far as Paul was concerned. The Lord gave him this boldness. He made known the mystery of the gospel in the household of Caesar. Sinners in Caesar's household through the witness of Paul became saints in Caesar's household. We recall those other occasions when, as a prisoner, the great Paul was bold for the Lord and made known the mystery of the gospel. You remember, as a prisoner, he stood before that godless Felix. And we are told in Acts 24 that he reasoned with Felix of righteousness, temperance, and the judgment to come. Why, that's boldness for you. Then later he stood as a prisoner before Agrippa, another godless individual. But Paul was just as bold for the Lord, making known the mystery of the gospel to Agrippa. He said, King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? I know that thou believest. And Agrippa said, Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Paul said, "Would to God, Agrippa, thou wast a Christian." That's boldness for you. That's the boldness we need. So we see not only Paul here as a prisoner with grace, we see his boldness in the Lord, and then we see also his burden for the lost. Paul was the means of getting the word of God to those in Caesar's household. Through Paul, he made known the mystery of the gospel, then surely this emphasizes the burden he had for lost souls. His burden for the lost was greater than his fear of man, even though that man was Nero. Not surprising then that when Paul expressed on one occasion the burden he had for souls, that he made it known to the saints at Rome. We read in Romans 9, as he wrote to the believers at Rome, Romans 9 verse 1, "I say the truth in Christ, I lie not, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost, that I have a great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart, for I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh." Paul had a burden for the Jew. Paul had a burden for the Gentile. He had a burden for those souls that he met with, who served in the household of Caesar. Paul had a burden for souls. And that burden for souls did not evaporate when Paul was locked up in prison. Paul's love and burden for souls remained the same, no matter where he was, no matter who was in his audience or his congregation, his burden remained the same. This is what Paul meant when he said in Romans 5, verse 5, "Hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost which is given us." And my, if ever the love of God was shed abroad in anyone's heart towards the souls of men, it was seen in the life of Paul. That word shed abroad means to pour out. Paul poured out his love for souls when he made known the mystery of the gospel to those in the household of Caesar. And while a prisoner, the love of God towards sinners was poured out in the heart of the great apostle. O believer, where is our burden for souls? In the light of what we see here in the life of Paul, could not appear in Caesar's court without speaking a word for the master. He could not appear before those in the household of Caesar without making known the mystery of the gospel, because Paul had a burden for souls. Oh, that we had that burden and that passion. Oh, for a passionate passion for souls. Oh, for a pity that yearns. Oh, for the love that loves unto death. Oh, for the fire that burns. What we need. Regarding this prisoner, we have seen his boldness in the Lord, and his burden for the lost. Then we notice also his brightness as a light. household of Caesar was a dark place. But by the light, Paul's witness and life shone brightly. Remember again those words in verse 13 of Philippians 1. So that my bonds in Christ are manifest. There's his light. My bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all other places. Not just in Caesar's palace, but everywhere else. Everywhere Paul finds himself in the providence of God, Paul let his light shine. His bonds in Christ were manifest. The word manifest means to be known. To be known. So when Paul appeared in Caesar's palace, everybody knew that Paul was a servant of Jesus Christ. They knew why he was in bonds. He didn't hold anything back. He didn't try to hide anything. He didn't try to cover up the fact that he was a servant of Jesus Christ. For Paul was able to say, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest. Didn't matter where Paul was, everybody knew he was a Christian. The people know that you and I are Christians wherever we are. Is it known that man's a Christian? That woman is a Christian? Paul wrote to the Thessalonians in his first letter, he said, ye are all the children of light. Where does the light come from? Jesus Christ is the light of the world. And if we are to let our light shine, that simply means we're to let Jesus Christ be seen. People are to know that we are Christian. Matthew 5 and verse 5. Paul, or the Lord Jesus said, let your light so shine before men. Christ is our light, therefore we should let Christ be seen in us. That's what Paul did. He shone for Christ, and souls in Caesar's household were saved. Let us shine for Christ wherever we are. And souls, by the grace of God, will be saved. And we notice also here the fact that these saints, these sinners in Caesar's household were saved. Speaks to us and reminds us of the power of the gospel. Not only the providence of God and the prisoner with grace, but here's the power of the gospel. If ever there was an atmosphere was not congenial to Christianity and to the gospel, it must surely have been in the household of Caesar. Yet it is in those very places and precincts that we find souls that have been reached with the gospel and saved by grace and by the blood. It's the power of the gospel. Paul believed in the power of the gospel. That's why he made known the mysteries of the gospel. As he stood there in Caesar's palace, as he mixed with those in Caesar's household, he believed the power of the gospel. It didn't matter if Caesar if Nero was Caesar. It didn't matter if Nero was emperor. It didn't matter how ungodly that man was. Paul believed in the power of the gospel. He told the Romans of his belief. For he said that he believed the gospel was the power of God unto salvation to every one that believeth. Paul believed that if he preached the gospel in Caesar's palace to those in Caesar's household, souls would be saved, whatever their surroundings, and whoever was in power. Nero had declared war on the Christians. Paul believed that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. 2 Corinthians 10 verses 4 and 5. And here is this mighty weapon, the word of God, the gospel of Jesus Christ. Paul may have been bound, but as he told Timothy, the word of God is not bound. Therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they also may obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. No wonder then Paul said, the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel. I'll endure all things for the elect's sake. Whatever threat may be made upon me, as I stand in Caesar's palace, I'm determined to witness for the Lord. Because I believe in the power of the gospel, and the word of God is not. That leads us to the saints and their surroundings. All the saints salute you, chiefly they that are of Caesar's household. That speaks to us of their surroundings. They are servants or slaves or free men in the household of Caesar. Here again we see the providence of God when we consider their office in life. The household of Caesar was made up mainly of troops and slaves who ministered to Nero's wants and wishes. His slaves, his servants, and free men would have filled 1,000 menial offices. They would have been called upon to wait upon the emperor and the empress hand and foot. Certainly not a place you would expect to find a saint of God. Yet they were there and reached with the gospel. And they were there to witness for the Lord and do a work for God. Just as Obadiah was in the house of Ahab. What for? Why did the Lord have a saint of God in the house of a wicked man like Ahab? Why? To take care of the Lord's prophets. If he had not have had that position in the household of Ahab, he could not have supplied the food for the servants that were hidden in caves. Why the Lord had them there in the providence of God. He was there. Why was Joseph a governor in Egypt, in the house of Pharaoh? The Lord had them there in his providence to save the land from famine and to save Joseph's own family from starving. Why did the Lord have Nehemiah in the house of Artaxerxes? so that he would be in a position to go and help build the walls around Jerusalem. Why does the Lord have you in that place that you occupy day by day? He has you in that place according to his providence, that you might be a witness for him. That's why. You're not there by chance. You're there because that's where God wants you to be. Remember Joanna? We read about in Luke chapter 8. She was the wife of Cusa. Who was he? He was a steward in Herod's household. And here's another child of God in surroundings that where you may not expect to find a child of God. And dear believer, however difficult your surroundings may be, you say, well, in my place of employment, you don't know how hard it is to live for God. Is it any harder than the household of Caesar? I don't believe so. Couldn't possibly be. And yet we find there were saints in the household of Caesar who lived for the Lord, who saluted the saints of Philippi. We have their office in life. We have their obedience in the Lord. Some Christians may be tempted to say it's impossible to live for the Lord where I work. It is very difficult to live the Christian life in my surroundings. And yet I find that these saints in the household of Caesar bore a good witness and testimony for the Lord. How do I know that? Well, I go back to Romans 16. And look at what it says in Romans 16, verse 19. Your obedience is come abroad unto all men. So the saints at Rome, their obedience has come abroad unto all men. Obedience to what? Look at verse 26. But now is made manifest and by the scriptures of the prophets according to the commandment of the everlasting God made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. They were obedient in the faith. Even in the household of Caesar they had this witness, this testimony. They were obedient to the faith. It would have been very easy for them to compromise. It would have been very easy for them to lower their standards so that they wouldn't just stand out from all the rest. But no, they remained obedient. These saints didn't believe that saying, when in Rome, do as the Romans do. They didn't believe that for one moment. They believed in being obedient to the faith. And they remained obedient. What does this tell us? Tells us something about the sovereign, divine grace of God. That here were saints that had the grace of God, and in the midst of difficult surroundings, in the household of Caesar, they were still able to maintain a good witness and testimony for the Lord. That's the grace of God. For the grace of God is a flower that will bloom no matter the climate, no matter the surroundings, no matter the temperature. God's grace will stay. children in the life of a true child of God. Then you have their opportunity to labor. If the saints mentioned in Romans 16 are the ones who sent this word of greeting to the saints at Philippi, then we can read about what they did for the Lord while serving in the household of Caesar. You read through that chapter, you will see what those saintly men and women did for God. What a wonderful example these saints are to us. No wonder Paul said, "Salute Mary. Salute Albanus. Salute these saints." They need to be saluted, because they have lived for God in very difficult surroundings and circumstances. You talk about saluting someone, you say, "I take my hat off to that person." When you salute someone, you're showing them respect. May the saints at Rome need to be respected. We take our hats off to them. And then finally and quickly, we have the saints and their salutation. All the saints salute you, chiefly they that are of Caesar's household. When Paul was writing this letter to the believers at Philippi, the saints at Rome wanted to be remembered to them. This speaks to us of their compassionate ways. Here is true Christianity. Here is the love of Christ in the heart of His people. Their difficult surroundings had not made them bitter or critical. Instead, it made them even more compassionate and more loving towards their brethren. And here they showed their love by asking Paul to include them in his letter. They send greetings to the believers at Philippi. Jonathan Edwards said, "The grace of God can live where neither you nor I can." Here's the grace of God in the lives of these believers. Here's the love of Christ in the lives of these believers, in spite of the fact that they were there in the household of Caesar. Their compassionate ways, their comforting words. We must not miss that phrase, "chiefly they that are of Caesar's household." Now the Philippian saints had suffered for the cause of the gospel themselves, and yet here they are receiving a word of salutation from those who were suffering even more. Because this word of salutation came from believers in the household of Caesar. My, how they must have been encouraged to receive that word. Chiefly, note the word. "The saints salute you chiefly, they of the household of Caesar." Primarily, those of the household of Caesar. Why, how often have we gone to perhaps encourage some child of God who's sick and been led aside? We have come away from that home encouraged ourselves. They have ministered to us. And here were these saints from the household of Caesar ministering to others, ministering to the saints of Philippi. Oh, may the light and the brightness of Christ be seen in us by others. And may we have a comforting word. May we have the tongue of the learned, that we might speak a word in season to they that are oppressed. And then you have their continuing witness. Little did these saints think that their salutations would be preserved and handed down to the centuries for the use of the church. Yet here we are today. Here we are today, 2,000 years later. We're talking about the saints in the household of faith. They being dead, they're still speaking. Their lives still speak to us. Oh, I wonder what your life and mine speak on when we are dead and gone. Will we be like the saints in Caesar's household? Oh, I trust we will. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear Lord and gracious Father, we do bless Thee and praise Thee for the memory of great men and women of God. Those, Lord, that we read about in church history. Those, Lord, that took a stand for Thee, counting not the cost. Even as Paul said, neither count I my life dear unto me. For he was able to say again, for to me to live is Christ. Lord, help us to live for Christ. Give us the boldness Paul had. Give us that burden that Paul had. That, Lord, wherever we find ourselves, we'll speak a word for the Master, we'll make known the mysteries of the Gospel. Gracious Father, bless us today. Write the Word on our hearts. May we indeed be bright, shining lights for the Lord. We ask Thee, Father, that Thou would be with us as we leave this place of worship today. Take us to our homes in safety. Gracious Lord, bless us in the days to come. Keep us near the cross, ever looking on to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And Lord, bless Aaron and Mandy on Saturday. Pray, dear Lord, that the blessing of the triune God will be their portion on that day and in the days that lie ahead. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit abide and remain with us now and forevermore. Amen.